Yeah. All right. So we are learning Shmuel Beis. Welcome back. And we are learning Perek Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel, another very dramatic and tragic story here in Perek Yud Gimel. The last tragic and dramatic story was the story with David and Bathsheba. And here we have another tragic and dramatic story. This one's not with David, but it's with his kids. And the Malbim introduces this perek by saying that you can't view this perek in a vacuum. There's a reason why the perek appears the way it does, right here. There's a reason why this happened when it did. And this, of course, is the story of Amnon and Tamar. And the reason why it happens is because this is a fulfillment of the punishments that Nasan Hanavi promised David would happen as a result of the incident with Bathsheba. So if you remember, they talked about, I don't have the exact language here in front of me now, but in Perek Yud Beis, Nasan said that Cherev, right, the sword will always be at your descendants. And here we're going to find that this story that we read about in Perek Yud Gimel will cause the death of Amnon, right, who's one of David's sons. And eventually, the next story we're going to read is about Avshalom, and it's going to eventually that will cause the death of Avshalom as well, another one of David's sons. So we see that these stories are the fulfillment, the negative fulfillment of some of these promises and punishments that Nasan promised David. Okay, so let's go. Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi acharechein ulaAvshalom ben David achos. Avshalom was one of the sons of David. He had a sister, and she was Yafa. She was a very beautiful woman. Ushma Tamar. Her name was Tamar. Vayehaveha Amnon ben David. And Amnon, who was also a son of David, loved her. He was in love with her. Now, okay, so what's going on here, right? We have Avshalom ben David, Amnon ben David, Tamar's bas David. You know, what's going on? Amnon is falling in love with Tamar, their brothers, their sisters. What's happening? So all the Mefarshim, right off the bat, say the only way to really understand what's going on in this perek is to understand it with Chazal's interpretation. And Chazal understand that the mother of Avshalom and Tamar, whose name was Ma'acha, Mem Ayin Chofhei, that was the name of their mother. She started out as a princess, says the Mitzudas David, of the nation of Geshur. Geshur was one of the nations that David fought against. She was a princess of Geshur. So how does she come to be David's wife? Because we know in the Torah, there's a parsha of Eishes Yifas Toar. What's Eishes Yifas Toar? That when the Jewish army goes to battle and the soldier sees among the women of the other camp, he sees someone and he falls in love with her, right? He's taken, very taken by her, by her looks, by her, by who she is. He's very taken by her. So the Torah has this parsha of Eishes Yifas Toar. And essentially, without getting into all the details, essentially, he's allowed to sleep with her once and then she has to convert. If she converts, then they can marry, and then she can be his wife. If she doesn't convert, then he's got to get rid of her, and she goes back to the other camp. Dibra Torah keneged Yetzer Hara, Chazal tell us that in war things are crazy, right? As we see, unfortunately, we see now in the Ukraine and Russia, right? In Ukraine, that things are crazy during war, and people's the Yetzer Haras of the soldiers are all out of whack and out of control. And the Torah said, if we don't allow this, you know, that's how the Mefarshim Chazal understand it. If we don't allow this, then the soldiers will do worse. They're not going to be able to control themselves. And therefore, they allowed this in moderation, right? This type of thing. So Chazal tell us that Ma'acha was an Eishes Sifas Toar. She was the princess of Geshur. She was an Eishes Sifas Toar. David saw her in battle, took her as an Eishes Sifas Toar, right? In accordance with the Psukim, with the Parsha and the Torah, slept with her one time, which was permissible, right? That was permissible. She became pregnant from that one time. She became pregnant. And the baby from that pregnancy was Tamar. That was the baby from the pregnancy. After they were together that one time, she did convert. Maacha converted. She converted. And she became a full-fledged wife of David. After she converted, they together had Avshalom. Okay? So what's going on here is that Tamar was conceived before she was Jewish, right? Before she was Jewish. And she was born after the Gerus, I believe, when she was already, when her mother was already Jewish, had already converted. Okay? Avshalom was both conceived and born after his mother had converted. Now, because of this, generally speaking, a brother is not permitted to a sister, right? They're not permitted to each other. And even if they don't share the same mother, even if they're just what we call achim min ha'av, for those learning Yevamos, right? Even if they just share a father but not a mother, they're still prohibited to each other. They're not allowed to be with each other. Huh? Tamar and Avshalom do, but not Tamar and Amnon. Amnon was from a different woman. Was from a different wife. So that's why the Radak explains all this. That's the Radak says that's why Amnon was really permitted to marry Tamar. He was allowed to marry Tamar, Amnon, because they did not share a mother. And even though they shared a father, however, she was conceived before the mother was really married, right, to David. Her mother was just an Eishes Sifas Toar. If a girl is conceived before the mother's really married, so then that girl, even though they share a father, that girl is permissible to other brothers from a different mother, okay, because she's not considered a full-fledged daughter of David, and that will be important later.
So, if David was married to Maacha, then she wouldn't be allowed.
Correct. Right. Had Tamar been conceived when David was a full-fledged, when Maacha was a full-fledged wife of David, so then she would have been prohibited. Then she would have been prohibited. Right. No, I think he just wants to let someone in. Okay, so that's the background of this, and that's why technically speaking Amnon and Tamar were permissible to each other, right? Technically they're permissible to each other because they're not full-fledged siblings, and even though they share a father, but this was from before her mother was Jewish, and that's why it's okay. Okay, now, so Amnon falls in love with Tamar, and he has a very strong desire for her. Now, Pasuk Beis, Vayetzer la'Amnon lihischalos ba'avur Tamar achoso, ki vesulahi. So Amnon is in a lot of distress. Amnon's in a lot of distress, and lihischalos, the Mefarshim say, it means he basically got sick, right? To the point where he made himself sick, because of Tamar, his sister, ki besula, he will see what that means in a second. Vayipalei be'enei Amnon la'asos la me'uma, and Amnon had no idea how to approach this. He wants Tamar, he has no idea how he's going to approach this. He's lovesick, literally lovesick, to the point where Mefarshim say lehischalos, it's like he's really getting sick over this. And he doesn't know what to do. Now, the Malbim says, well, why doesn't he just, marry her? Right? They're permitted to each other. So why doesn't he just marry her? So the Malbim says it never would have happened. Why would it have never happened? Because in order for Amnon to marry Tamar, Tamar and her brothers, because a girl's brothers are very protective over her, so Tamar and her brothers would never have allowed it. Why? Because by allowing it, they're essentially admitting that she's not a legitimate daughter. Because if she was a legitimate daughter and she was really the daughter of David, so then they wouldn't be permissible to each other. So by allowing Tamar to marry Amnon, by allowing it, it's basically making a statement that she's not a legitimate daughter of David, right? In order for that marriage to happen, she's not a legitimate daughter. If she's not a legitimate daughter, how does that look? Doesn't look good.
How were they raised? Were they raised?
Oh, right. So the Malbim says that they made like she was a regular girl, like she was a regular daughter of David. That's how they treated her. She was a princess, 100%.
They grew up in the same house.
Again, at that point, Ma'achal was a full fledged wife. She had converted, and she was a regular wife of David. So the fact that Tamar was conceived when Ma'achal was an Eishes Yifas Tohar, nobody talked about that. Nobody talked about it because they didn't want it, you know, they didn't want it to be like a stain on her that, you know, that there was something different, and they treated her like a regular princess. So says the Malbim, that's why there was no option for Amnon to get married to her, right? Because they never would have let it. Tamar and her brothers would never have let the marriage go through.
So wouldn't we know that she was a Suva? I mean,
okay.
Why would it have to say it?
Good. So why does the Pasuk say she's a Basula?
Again, repeat our Kosa. What time are our Kosa again? Please.
Yeah. So Basula, interestingly, Pashut Pshat and Basula, the Radak says, means that he had a stronger desire for her because she was a Basula, right? So it was more attractive in his eyes that she was a Basula, number one. Number two, Rashi says that based on the Medrash, we can understand that the Basula here really means Tsenua. Right, that all the Basulos were very tsanua. So since she was very tsanua, she was, you know, she was quiet and she was, you know, indoors. She didn't hang out outside, and therefore Amnon really had no recourse. He knew that he would never marry her because they would never allow her to marry him, and he knew that he would never be able to somehow, you know, be mefata, her seducer. It wouldn't happen because she was such a tsanua. She was always away. She was always away from him. So he's at like his wit's end. He has no idea how to approach this. He has a strong desire for her. He doesn't know what to do. And that's why he's getting sick. And by Yetzer, he's in distress because he doesn't know what to do. He's got this desire. He wants to marry her. He can't marry her. And, you know, there's nothing else he can do because she's a tsnua. What am I going to do? Again, but the sister part of it is mutter. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, now the Mitzudas David also tells us something here, which is important, that Amnon started to get not just physically sick, but emotionally he wasn't well. He started to get depressed over this. Like, he really started to get depressed over this. Pasuk Yom. Ula Amnon Rea, Ushmo Yonadav, Ben Shima, Achi David. So Amnon had a friend. His name was Yonadav. Yonadav was the son of Shima, who was the brother of David. So he was David's nephew. The Yonadav ish chacham meod. Yonadav was a very wise person. Now here it's interesting. Chacham, we'll see, he's about to come up with a plot which doesn't sound so great. It might be sneaky. It might be tricky, but it doesn't sound so great. So the Radak says, Chacham here is not in a good way. Chacham is lara. Not in a good way. He was like conniving. Now, the Malbim says, Chas v'shalom. The Malbim says, you look throughout Tanakh, Chacham always means Latov. Chacham always means something good. So what's pshat with Yonadav here? And let's see what he comes up with. Okay, good. All right. So that's how the Radak understands it, right? You know, like a Ponzi scheme, you know, you have to be very smart. It's not a good smart. You're using your smarts for something bad, for something negative, but you're still very smart. That's how the Radak understands it. But the Malbim doesn't like that, because the Malbim says if you look throughout Tanakh, then Chacham always means for the good. It's not for the bad. It's for the good. So what does that mean? So let's see Pasuk Dalet. By Yomer Lo. So Yonadav says to Amnon, Madua ata kacha dal ben hamelech. Baboker, baboker. He says, you know, every day you wake up and you look shvach, you look weak. Every morning I see you look like you're a mess. You look weak. Look like you haven't slept. Halo tagidli. Tell me what's going on. Vayomer lo Amnon. So Amnon says, yeah, taka, there's something happening. es Tamar achos Avshalom achi ani ohev. I'm in love with Tamar, the sister of my brother Avshalom. Okay, the Radak says he wasn't getting sleep; he couldn't sleep. Right, keep in mind, we all know that the Mitzvah Stavit said before that he was depressed. Right, people that are struggling emotionally, they have a hard time sleeping. So he was struggling emotionally. He was sick physically. He couldn't sleep. Every morning he looked like he was a mess because he looked like he hadn't slept all night. So he says, "What's going on? I see that you look like you're a mess." The Malbim says this is the first expression of his chachma, that he had the ability to recognize something's going on. I see that he looks disheveled. I see that he looks tired. Something is going on beneath the surface with this guy. He was able to hone in and to sense that. But sometimes people don't realize. You know, sometimes you see somebody, you don't notice. You know, you don't notice how they look. You don't notice that. The Malbim says he was Yonadav was able to notice. He had the chachma to notice and to see it. Right? Okay. It's one of the jobs of a teacher. You have to try to notice the Talmidim and see, you know, what's going on with this kid. He looks a little tired today. What's happening? He's in a bad mood. What happened? You know, what happened at home? You know, it's not always so easy. You got to try to figure it out. Pasuk Hey. Vayomer lo Yehonadav shechav al mishkavcha. Yonadav says, I'll give you the following etza, following suggestion. Go lie down. Vehischal and pretend like you're sick. Make like you're sick. That's how the Radak understands it. No, pretend like you're sick. Uva avicha lirosecha. Your father David is going to come to Bikur Cholim to find out how you're doing. Be amarte, love, and tell him the following. Tavo na samar achosi v'savreni lechem. I'm not well. I'm weak. I'm shvach. Please tell Tamar, my sister, to come and to give me some food to eat. V'asasa le'enai es habiria, and let her prepare the food in front of me. Lemana sher ere, so that I can see it. V'achalti miyada, and I'll eat from her hands. I'll eat from her hands. Now, the Radak is again, understands that Yonadav was up to no good. This was an evil type of suggestion. And he was suggesting something to Amnon that he would fool David. Right? Make like you're sick, pretend like you're sick, and this is how you're going to get Tamar to come to you. Okay? The Malbim is not understanding this way. The Malbim understands, no, Yonadav had good intentions. What were his good intentions? How are you going to get in a position to marry in a kosher way, to marry Tamar? You have to show the king how much you love her. You have to show the king how sick you are, lovesick, literally, lovesick you are for Tamar. If you show the king how lovesick you are and that you need Tamar, he'll send Tamar to you. And then if you show her and you express to her how much you love her and how much you want to marry her, so then maybe David and Tamar will agree and she'll marry you. So according to the Malbim, this was 100% kosher suggestion. He wasn't suggesting Chas v'Shalom to do anything bad. He was suggesting, but you have to make your case, right? As it is now, that she'll never marry you. So you have to make your case. You have to make your case to David. He's the father. And you have to make your case to Tamar. So this is how you should do it. Birya, it's like Visavreni. Sudas Havra, like when it comes to Avelus. It's like the meal that gives you sustenance, that gives you koach. Okay, so Amnon says, oh, great idea. What a chacham. Yonadav, this guy. Great idea. Vayishkav Amnon. So Amnon lays down. Vayishchal, and he makes like, again, according to the Radak, he pretends he's sick. Vayavo Amelech Liroso. David comes to see him. Vayomer Amnon and Al Amelech. Amnon says to the king, Tavona, Tamar, Achosi, Usilabev, Le'enai, Shtei, Levivos, Ve'evre Miyada. Right? Let her come and prepare two Levivos, like latkes, and I'll become healthy. These were not potato latkes. Farshim say these were some sort of a dough that they used to boil, and then they used to fry it. And this is what he wanted. Now, Dumplings. Okay, that's how the Sincino translates it. Dumplings. Good. Okay, so now the Malbim here admits that Amnon did not understand Yonadav's suggestion. Again, Yonadav's suggestion was, he had good intentions. His suggestion was, convince David and Tamar that you want to marry her and that she should marry you. Right? That was his suggestion. Amnon didn't realize that. He didn't realize what Yonadav was really getting at. He thought Yonadav was giving him a bad suggestion, a suggestion to do something wrong. That's what he thought. That's what he thought. So that's why he switches the order of events here. And also, now David, you know, listen, he's asking for Levivos. So how is this going to work? So says the Malbim, because David thinks he's sick. He needs a certain type of dish to feel better. And why does he have to watch her make it? He's got to watch her make it to make sure that she makes it in the right way. Because if she makes it in the wrong way, he's not going to like it. And it's not going to make him feel better. Had David really realized what he was up to, of course, he would never have sent her. He wouldn't have sent her there, but he didn't realize. Pasuk Zayin, Vayishlach David el Tamar Abaisa, Leimor, Lechina beis Amnon achich, Ba'asilo habiria. So he sends a message to Tamar, please go to Amnon's house and cook for him. Again, I don't know if bias here means there were multiple houses. Maybe it means different rooms in the house, big palace. I don't know exactly what the living arrangements were. You know, I don't know that everybody lived together. I'm not sure. It sounds like it's a different place, different location. That's what it sounds like. Atelech Tamar beis Amnon achia fu shochev. Amnon's lying down. Atikach es abotzek batolosh batelabev leinov. So she takes the dough. She kneads it. She makes these levivos in front of him. She cooks them again. First, they were boiled in hot water. Pasuk test. Batikach es hamasres batitzok lefanov. So she takes the dish. That's where she did like the frying pan, and she poured it out. You know, she kind of dumped these latkes in front of him. Vayimoein lechol. But he refused to eat them. He refused to eat them. Why? Because he only wanted to eat from her. He wanted her to feed him. He says, okay, I need everybody to get out of here. And everybody leaves. Now, obviously, you know, again, it says the Malbim, his pretense for kicking everyone out was that if he's sick and she puts these levivos down in front of him, who's going to feed him? His Mishares. He's got a servant there. So the servant's going to feed him. He didn't want the servant to feed him. He wanted Tamar to feed him. So therefore, he kicks everybody out of the room, and it's just him and Tamar. Vayomer Amnon el Tamar, Havi'i Habirya Hacheder, Ve'evrem Yodech. Bring it to the room. The Malbim says, we're talking about the dining room here where he normally ate. I want to eat from your hands, Miyodech. Hatikach Tamar Salavivos Asher Asasa. So she picks up these levivos that she made, and she brings it to the dining room where Amnon is, and she's gonna feed him. Pasuk Yud Aleph, vatagesh elav leechol. She brings him the food to eat, and here his yetzihara gets the best of him. Vayachazek ba, he grabs her. Vayomer la boi shichvi imi achosi. Come sleep with me. He grabs her. Come sleep with me. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vatomer lo alochi. So she says, no, al ta'aneini. Don't do this to me, right? Don't abuse me. Ki lo ye'aseh chein b'Yisrael. You can't do such a thing. Al ta'aseh sanevola hazos. You can't do such a terrible, despicable thing. Now, again, she wasn't going willingly. The only other option was that he was going to be ma'anes, or he was going to rape her, and that she's saying, please don't. You're my brother. Jews don't behave like this. You can't do it. Malbim says she made three different points to him. Number one, the ma'ase itself, the action itself, is a despicable action. You can't do such a thing. Right? And that's lo ye'asa chein b'Yisrael. And the Malbim points out also she's borrowing terminology from Shechem and Dinah. If you look at the wording by Shechem and Dina, it uses these words. That's what the Shvatim said. Shimon and Levi said that afterwards. You can't do such a thing. They called it a Nevala. And that's what she's using. She's saying, I remember that. That didn't turn out so well. That's how that this is what you're doing. The same thing that Shechem did to Dina, that's what you want to do to me. That's number one. Number two, Va'ani, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ona Oli Chescher Pasi. Not just the Maisa itself, not just the action itself. But what about my kavod? It's a disgrace. I'll be disgraced. I'll be incredibly disgraced if you do this. And not only that, the ata tiyeh ke'achad ha'nevolim b'Yisrael. It's going to affect your kavod also. So my kavod's going to go down the drain. I'm going to look like I'm going to be disgraced. Your kavod's going to go down the drain because you're going to be disgraced. Look at what he did to his sister. And says Tamar, listen, there's a way to do this. We could do this in a mutter way, right? She knew that she was mutaras to him. We can get married. If you talk to David, let's talk it out with him. He won't, right? He'll allow us to get married. Let's do this in a kosher way. Let's do this in a mutter way. The low of all Ishmoa Bekolon. He didn't listen to her. Vayechazak Mimena. He overpowered her. Vayeaneha. Vayishkavosa. And he abused her. He slept with her. And Malcolm says he did it in different ways. It was terrible abuse. Pasuk Tezvav. Vayisnoeha Amnon Sina Gidola Meod. Now Amnon hates her. After this, after he rapes her, he hates her. Ki gedola hasina asher sana asher sineya me'ava asher aheva. And the sina that he felt now towards her was even greater than the ava that he felt originally towards her. Vayomer lo Amnon kumi lechi. And Amnon says to her, get out of here. He tries to throw her out. He says, get out of here. Okay, now, Poshut Pshat here says the Radak. Okay, hold on. So we'll get to that in a second. But the Radak says that Hashem made him hate her. The Radak says this was miraculous. Well, all of a sudden he hates her, right? In a minute ago, he was infatuated with her, and all of a sudden he hates her. So the Radak says this was a miraculous thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu made an ace. All of a sudden in his head, he hated her. Sina. Why? So he says that Kadosh Baruch Hu did this to increase his disgrace when he would send her away. Because if he wouldn't send her away right now, not everybody would know about it. It wouldn't be so disgraceful. But if right now he hates her and he throws her out and everybody sees what just happened, everybody finds out what just happened, that will increase the busha. It will increase the cherpa for Amnon. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that right away, right after he did this, he hated her and that pushed him to kick her out. Okay? Now, this is also going to increase Avshalom's hatred for Amnon because of what he did. And eventually Avshalom's going to want to kill him. Eventually he will. Right? That's what's going to happen here. Now, all of this is, says the Radak, Mida Keneged Mida. That this is all trickling down, coming back to David because of what David did with Bathsheba and Uriah, right? So he slept with Bathsheba, killed Uriah. So now this is all happening, that this happened to Tamar, and this is what eventually it's going to lead to bloodshed in his home, which is what Nasan promised would happen. That's what's going to happen. That's all coming full circle. The Metzudas David points out here interestingly, he says maybe she did something to cause him to hate her. Maybe she cursed him or something like that, which caused him to hate her. Rashi and the Radak quotes a Medrash that says that also HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that during the act of abuse, he got hurt. He got injured in a very graphic way. The Torah describes as a krus shavcha, in a way that a man can't have any more children. In a very gruesome type of way, he got hurt. And that's what caused the hatred. That's the Medrash. That's what caused the hatred. The Malbim takes Joe's approach, or Joe was mechavin to the Malbim, And the Malbim takes the psychological approach, which is not uncommon for the Malbim. And the Malbim takes the psychological approach and says, no, he hated her because it was never really love. This was never love. He never really loved her. He was infatuated with her. He had a Yetzer Hara for her. He was obsessed with her. And now, once he did what he did, that was it. Now, once what he did what he did, there was the taiva's gone. The taiva was gone. The love was never there to begin with. So once the taiva's gone, so now what's he left with? He's left with a terrible feeling of guilt, right? A feeling of guilt and busha over what he did. And now he looks at her, and now she, this, you caused this, right? You, right? It's like the victim, right? He victimizes the, you know, he makes the victim the perpetrator. This is all, by the way, this is all, the Malbim was 200 years ahead of his time in terms of psychology of the abuser, right? The abuser makes it that it's the victim's fault. The victim feels guilty. That's what he's doing here, right? He says, oh, this is your fault. Look what you did. Look what you made me do. Right? That's he makes her feel guilty. And that's the sinna, says the Malbim. That's the sinna that he feels towards her now. So he wants to kick her out. He wants to kick her out. Okay, now Pasuk Tezayin. Vatomelo al. So she says, no. Odos hara hagedola hazos meacheres asher asisa imi. You already did one terrible thing, says Tamar. She's fighting for herself now. Don't do a second terrible thing, l'shalcheini, by throwing me out. But he wouldn't listen to her. Now, what's going on here? So the Malbim and the Mitzudas Davar Adam Mefarshim say that, what does the Torah say when a man rapes a woman? A man is ma'anes a woman. What does the Torah say? He has to marry her, and he can never divorce her. Why? Because he disgraced her. He disgraced her. Now, again, in today's day and age, that's like crazy. You know, it's like unheard of. Why would a woman want such a thing, right? But, you know, maybe in those days the thinking, the psychology was a little different, and she's disgraced. So now the Torah says, you got to marry this woman. You disgraced her. You now have to marry her and provide for her and take care of her for the rest of her life, and you can't divorce her. You can't divorce her. So that's what she's saying. What?
Like a reminder to show him every day.
Yeah. Was this No. Again. Well, it depends how you learn. According to the Radak, it sounds like maybe yes. But according to the Malbim, absolutely not. According to the Radak, according to the Malbim, this was not Yonadav's plan. Yonadav's plan was for him to convince David and Tamar that they should get married. Kedasu kedin. Chuppah v'kiddush, like a regular marriage. She didn't love him, but maybe, you know, again, Yonadav was saying, you know, maybe if you convince her and you show her how much you love her, you take her out to eat and you buy her a ring, you know, you buy her some flowers, maybe she'll marry you. Right? That's what Yonadav was saying. Right? That's what Yonadav was saying. So again, that's how the Malbim started off this whole parak by saying that it would never happen because, no. Again, it was mutter because she was conceived from the Yeshus Hifas Tawar. That's why it was mutter. But, you know, that would be admitting that she was conceived from the Yeshus Hifas Tawar and that she was a little different than everybody else. And that's what they didn't think that she would go along with it. Okay, now, so the Mefarshim are saying here, she's saying, you can't throw me out now. You already did one terrible thing by doing this, being ma'anis me. Now at least follow the Torah, follow what you're supposed to do, marry me and take care of me now. Don't throw me out on the street, right? But now, and the Radak says in Pasuk Yudalid, it says, v'lo ava lishmoa b'kola. Here, the Pasuk says, v'lo ava lishmoa la. He didn't even want to hear her at all. Forget not even b'kola, he didn't want to hear her. He hated her. He just wanted her out. Pasuk Yudzayin, he didn't even refer to her as a human being. Zos, right? Again, you see, like the abuser, how he views his victims. Zos, like get this out of here. Get this out of my sight. Hachutza unaola delas acharel. Lock the door so she'll never come back. Pasuk Yirches ve'aleha kisones pasim kichein tilbash na benos hamelech habesulos meilim. So the Malbim says here that the way that the princesses used to dress was that they had like an undergarment. That was the kesonas pasim. That was like a nice undergarment. And then they wore a me'il on top. That was the outer garment. So now when he abused her, he took off the me'il, which was the outer garment. And when he sent her out, he didn't put it back on. So now she goes out in just her undergarment, just in the kesonas pasim. Vayotzei osa mishar so'achutz. V'no'al adel sachar. She goes out in a state of disgrace, just wearing this undergarment outside in public. They close the door. They lock the door afterwards. She's stuck out there. It's a mamish abusha now for her. Yotes. Vatikach tamar efer al rosha. And now she's mortified. So she takes dirt, ashes. She places it on her head. Uchsonas hapasim asher aleha kara'a. And she does kriya. She tears the kesonas pasim. Vatosim yoda al rosha. Vatelech haloch v'zaka. And she's walking around screaming. Look what just happened to her. Right? Look what just happened to her. She's mamash a victim. And also part of her intention was to make this public. Because once he wasn't going to care for her, once he wasn't going to marry her, so now she says, I have to tell people what happened. You know, people have to know. Pasuk Chof, Vayomer Eileha Avshalom Achiha. So Avshalom says to her, Ha'aminon Achich Haya Imach. Avshalom knows what happened. And he says, Ha'aminun, which interestingly, the Radak says he called him like a derogatory nickname. You know, Ha'amin, instead of Amnon, Aminun. It was like a derogatory nickname. Like, did he sleep with you? Did he just abuse you? Did he just rape you? Is that what happened? Ha'charishi, Achichu. He said, let's try to keep this quiet. He's your brother. Al toshisi es libeich ladavar hazeh. Try not to focus on it. Try not to think about it. Vateshev tamar v'shomema base of shalom achiha. Okay, now, the Mitzudas David, you know, says, Avshalom, was trying to quiet her down. You know, you're making a big scene. It's already embarrassing for you. Let's try to minimize the damage here. Right? Let's try to minimize the collateral damage of what happened. And says the Malbim, again, using the Malbim's classics, his psychological approach here, says the Malbim, Vateshev Tamar v'shomeima, beis Avshalom. What happens to the victim after they're abused? They withdraw. They don't enjoy life anymore, right? Nothing is happy anymore. Nothing is enjoyable. They withdraw. She withdrew. Says the Malbim, before she was a happy girl, she was an active girl, and now she withdrew, disgraced, unhappy, sad. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the Hamelech David Shoma is called Advarim Ha'ela. David hears what happened, Vayichar Lo Ma'od, and he's furious. But says the Malbim, he doesn't do anything about it. And that was his mistake. He doesn't do anything about it. And that makes Avshalom even angrier. Not only did this happen to my sister, but look, David's not even doing anything. He's not even reacting about it. How can he not? I'm going to take care of it. Yeah, that's what's going on behind the scenes here. Pasuk Chav Beis, V'lo Diber Avshalom, and with this we'll end tonight. V'lo Diber Avshalom im Amnon le'meirav yatov. Avshalom doesn't talk to Amnon. Doesn't say a word. Not good, not bad. He ignores him. Kisone Avshalom es Amnon al davar asher ino es tamar achoso, because he has this intense hatred because of what he did to Amnon. And the Malbim, both of them, it's Mitzvah Stavid and the Malbim, both say the reason why he didn't want to talk to him is because he was plotting. He was plotting his revenge. He says, you do this to my sister, I'm going to get back at you. And he didn't want Amnon to suspect anything. So he just ignored him. He ignored him. This way he'll be unsuspecting. He'll let down his guard. Once he lets down his guard, Avshalom says, I'm going to wait for the opportune time, and then I'm going to kill him. And then I'm going to kill him because of what he did.
This, Rabbi, this sounds a bit like with Shechem, Yaakov's boys, Shechem, Shimon, Belevi.
Yes.
They're back and forth.
Yes, exactly.
It's very, very similar.
Exactly. Very, very similar. You're right. And that's what the Mefarshim pointed out, that the language that she used when she was trying to hold him off was the language of Shimon and Levi, was Shem. That was exactly the language she was using. You're right. There is that parallel there. Okay. So we'll stop here.
Why didn't David do anything?
It's a good question. It's a good question. Why didn't David do anything? I'm not sure. Maybe we'll see in the later prakim or the later part of the parak. I'm not sure. As of now, I didn't see anything yet explaining why.
Nassan told him this was going to happen, and he knew it was inevitable.
So Aaron suggesting maybe Nassan told him this was going to happen, but he kind of knew that this was going to happen. So he's okay. This is, you know, this is the result. Maybe. Okay. All right. Thank you very much for joining, everyone.